I think we're waiting for the applicant still, or are they on phone call?
Please begin the recording. Thank you very much. I will call to order now the May 23, 2023 Thurston County Land Use Hearing Calendar. Thanks for joining us today. I am Sharon Rice. I'm an attorney who works as a hearing examiner on contract for about 10 cities and counties. As the appointed Thurston County Hearing Examiner, I have jurisdiction to hear and to decide the applications on today's agenda. And of course, here at 10 o'clock, we are hearing the request for project number 2022-100558, project known as the Hicks Reasonable Use Exception, addressing a property addressed as 9034 Sherman Valley Road Southwest in unincorporated Olympia. During this meeting, anyone who needs to get my attention, you can call me Examiner Rice or Ms. Rice. And if anyone else has requests on how to be addressed, please let us know during your testimony. Of course, we are conducting this hearing virtually and it is on the Zoom platform. Zoom is making an audio recording of testimony today that is a legally required part of the record. And I need folks to help me protect the audibility of all testimony offered. I always ask folks to do the following. When you're not testifying, please go ahead and mute your Zoom audio so that we can't hear any accidental noise in your background. And when you are testifying, please make sure your phones are silenced to the extent that you can control the noises in your environment. It would be appreciated. I'm going to be asking folks to testify one at a time. When it is your turn to testify, we will acknowledge who's next. I will ask you to please state and spell your name for the legal recording. And then please give a job title or describe your relationship to this matter. And then I will ask you to take an oath to tell the truth before you provide any substantive testimony. A few legal concepts that apply that I want to make sure everyone is familiar with. The first is the Washington State Appearance of Fairness Doctrine. This is a law that requires decision makers to be free from bias or prejudice. And because it applies to this land use permit hearing, I want to state the following. Again, I am not a Thurston County employee. I work on contract for this and several other governments. I don't have personal, familial, financial, any interests in any property anywhere near the subject property for this application. And I have not had conversations with anybody about the merits of this proposal. And because those facts are true, I'm capable of issuing an impartial and unbiased decision in this request. Anyone who thinks they have grounds to challenge my impartiality is required by the state law to raise their challenge at their first opportunity, which would be your testimony today. Another important concept is that land use permits are not decided by consensus or popularity or anything like that. It is up to me as the county's decision maker to weigh the evidence that is offered and to determine whether the balance of evidence succeeds in demonstrating compliance with the permit criteria, in which case it must be approved, or to determine whether the balance of evidence fails to so succeed, to demonstrate, and if it fails to demonstrate, it cannot be approved. So the number of people for or against a project, the lack of any opposition to the project is not itself evidence, and I'm looking for affirmative evidence that demonstrates compliance with those reasonable use exception criteria for approval. Last sort of legal issue I want to make sure everyone knows. In the land use application, the burden of proof belongs to the applicant. That's a legal term that simply means it's the applicant's, who is the party, who has the obligation to provide evidence that demonstrates compliance. And I always want to state that for the record, just to remind everyone who might be participating, because staff will speak first. And so even though they're going first, it's still the applicant's job to provide that evidence, and it's not staff's job to prove that the permit meets the code. Staff goes first because they tend to be more familiar both with the hearing process and also with the criteria for approval. And that's common throughout Washington State. All right, so the order of testimony is set by the burden of proof, but we're gonna hear from staff first. So it goes staff, then applicant. I do have questions for representatives from both parties. After that, I will see if there's any public comment. Right now, we don't have any members of the public in the meeting at all, but if we do get any, they will have a chance to testify. If any questions or concerns are raised in public comment, both staff and the applicant will be invited to respond to those during today's hearing. And in a virtual hearing, because remote participation can be prevented by technology problems. It is my practice and the practice of all examiners I know to hold the record open briefly after conclusion of the virtual hearing to allow for post-hearing written public comment from members of the public who were unable to participate due to technology problems. That's a brief period of 2 business days. If we did receive post-hearing written public comment during those 2 business days, staff and the applicant would also have 2 business days to respond in writing for the record. This creates a bit of a graduated decision issuance deadline because I'm sure everyone knows I'm not announcing my decision at the end of the hearing and I have 10 business days from the close of the record to issue my decision. Because there will be 2 dates, it's a bit of a graduated decision issuance deadline, and at the end of the hearing, I will give you those dates specifically, and when we're done for the day, I will email them to the hearing clerk and she can forward them to you so that you have them in writing from me. All right, with that, I want to remind, please, everyone that the hearing clerk, Ms. Sonia Cady, is deputized to jump in whenever I am clearly not noticing something I need to notice, and also just to help me make sure the meeting goes smoothly. In this application, I was provided with a packet electronically so that I could prepare, and I just want to quickly acknowledge the exhibits that I did receive and did review. Exhibit 1 is the staff report to the examiner prepared by county staff. It is Exhibit 1, and on the last page of that document is a list, last 2 pages, is a list of attachments identified as attachments A through T as in Tom, and I did review all of those documents and they are admitted. If we have any other exhibits that come in, we will number them as they are offered. That's it from me. At this point, it's time to hear from county staff. If I could please have the county staff member unmute, state, and spell your name for the record. Please state your job title or your relationship with the case, and then allow me to swear you in.
Heather Tchaikovsky, HEATHERTSCHAEKOFSKE, Associate Planner and Biologist with Community Planning.
Thank you very much. Do you swear or affirm your testimony will be true? If so, please say I do.
I do.
Thank you very much, and go ahead.
Just a note, they're weed whacking outside my house right now, so hopefully that won't be a problem.
Can't hear it at all right now. Okay.
This is for Project 2022-100-558, a permit for reasonable use exception or RUE for a single family residence. The applicant is Adam Lanier Design. The applicant seeks approval of an RUE to construct a single family residence and appurtenances within a wetland buffer and riparian habitat area, attachments D through G. The proposed residence will be 2,400 square feet with an existing driveway, well, and 700 square foot accessory structure already on site that will serve as the future garage. The current site plan shows an approximate 4,000 square foot proposed on-site septic. Access to the property is provided by the existing driveway and private access easement road from Sherman Valley Road Southwest. The future building permit shall act as the required floodplain permit for this application, but appropriate flood review was provided for the RUE. A forest conversion for the proposed residence shall also be reviewed concurrently with the RUE review. The subject property has 100-year flood zone, 2 jurisdictional wetlands, 3 non-jurisdictional wetlands, and a type S stream, Waddell Creek, that almost completely encumber the site with associated buffers. For existing lots where the standards of the critical area ordinance would not allow development, the nonconforming chapter, TCC 24.50.060, would allow a development area of 3,500 square feet in the outer 25% of the standard buffer through a critical area review permit and applicable standards. There appears to be insufficient area on the property in the outer 25% of the wetland and stream buffers for residential development when considering the usage of the existing driveway. An RUE is the procedure to propose development within the inner 75% of the buffers. The site is 9.82 acres and the development will encompass 40,951 square feet of the property, which is 9.5% of the property, leaving the majority of the site undeveloped and protected via the flood zone, wetland, and stream protection standards. Written notice of the public hearing was sent to all property owners within 500 feet of the site, and notice was published in the Olympian on May 12, 2023, at least 10 days prior to the hearing. See Attachment A. The project was determined to be categorically exempt from SEPA. The subject property is located within the rural portion of Thurston County within the long-term forestry zone. Attachment B. The subject property was verified as a legal lot per legal lot determination in 2002, recorded under auditor file number 3415436. It is a forested lot that slopes to Waddell Creek along the western portion of the lot, where the perennial stream drainage flows in a southerly direction. Surrounding land uses consist of neighboring lots within the LTF zoning designation, developed with single-family residences on all four sides, and state-owned forestry and recreation lands. Frequently flooded areas, wetlands, fish and wildlife habitat conservation areas, and critical aquifer recharge areas are critical areas subject to the requirements of Thurston County Critical Areas Ordinance. The property is also within the Conservancy Shoreline designation of the Shoreline Master Program for the Thurston region, associated with Waddell Creek. Waddell Creek is a Type S stream, which are designated shorelines of the state as defined in RCW 90.58.030. A Type S stream requires a riparian habitat area width of 250 feet, measured from the edge of ordinary high water line, TCC 24.25.020. The Conservancy Shoreline designation requires a minimum lot size of 40,000 square feet of dry land area and the minimum lot width of 100 feet. The subject property conforms to these standards. Single-family residential development, such as the subject proposal, is exempt from substantial development permit per WAC 173-27-0402G. The proposed residential development is subject to standards and specific regulations of the residential chapter verified through the building permit review process. The current proposal is also in compliance with impervious surface limitations within shoreline jurisdiction, being under the maximum impervious surface coverage allowance of 30% for the lot. Staff finds the project to be consistent with the policy and provisions of the Shoreline Management Act and the Master Program. A letter of map amendment was determined by FEMA on April 1st, 2021 for the subject property, attachment J and K, with the flood elevation set as 385.7 feet, NAVD 88. The proposed and existing development areas are outside the determined flood zone on site. The property is also mapped within a critical aquifer recharge area category 1, which are characterized by extreme aquifer sensitivity. The ordinary high water mark, freshwater riparian habitat area, and wetlands have been delineated and categorized by a professional biologist. See Eco Assets Environmental LLC report, revised July 5th, 2022, attachment G. The three non-jurisdictional wetlands associated with Waddell Creek are shown on the site plan but do not require buffers. Wetland A, located in the southeast parcel area, and wetland B, located southwest of the existing structure, are both category 4 wetlands with a habitat score of 8 and a rating of medium high. This habitat rating for a wetland requires a 280-foot buffer, according to TCC 24.30.045. The new residence is proposed to be located approximately 140 feet from wetland B, 150 feet from the top of bank established as the general ordinary high water line from Waddell Creek, and 240 feet from wetland A per the submitted site plans. The existing development, driveway, and accessory structure are located at the closest point approximately 60 feet from wetland A and approximately 120 feet from wetland B. The entire property is encumbered by stream and wetland buffers. The subject property is within the LTF zoning district in which single-family residences are allowed as primary uses subject to applicable design standards. The proposal utilized the existing structures, driveway, and utilities to reduce impacts on the critical areas. The location of the proposed building site is the highest and flattest area of the property as far as possible from the ordinary high water mark from Waddell Creek. Therefore, no other reasonable use of the property is permitted to provide for a residential development site that meets the applicant's needs. Early site planning considered home placement in non-timbered clearings, but these areas were lower in elevation and encroached further into the Waddell Creek shoreline and wetland buffers. Septic design necessitated higher elevation, thus pairing the septic and proposed home footprint on the current elevation area outside of the regulated FEMA flood zone. All grading, construction, and stormwater will be maintained on site in accordance with the most recently approved Thurston County Stormwater Manual. A certified septic for Thurston County standards will be installed. The impacts will be limited on site and no spillover effects should create damage to nearby properties. As proposed in condition, staff does not believe the use will result in damage to other properties and should not threaten the health, safety, or welfare on or off the site. The development is proposed consistent with regulations intended to protect the environment and public health. As proposed, the project should have little impact to critical areas, including impacts to vegetation, fish and wildlife resources, and hydrologic and geologic conditions. The proposed development of the home and appurtenances will not occur in the stream and wetland, thus no direct impacts to critical areas will occur. Impacts have been limited to the buffers of wetland A, B, and the riparian habitat area width for Waddell Creek. Construction of the new home and appurtenances will require removal of vegetation within the wetland and shoreline buffers. A mitigation plan has been provided to maintain the functions and values of the wetlands and shoreline after buffer reduction. Attachment I. The mitigation plan provides for a 1-to-1 ratio of impacts to buffer enhancement area as required in code. Compensation will occur via planting 150 native trees and 200 native shrubs, which will establish two areas of dense herb shrub layer and canopy to maintain the current buffer functionality and, where not fully functional, reestablish infiltration of overland runoff. The mitigation plan incorporates most of the available previously impacted area on site. This plan is expected to improve baseline conditions as the remaining large buffers require the building to be sited far away from the wetland and stream. Removal of invasive species within the mitigation zones shall occur prior to and during implementation of the mitigation plan. Additional mitigation actions will be implemented per TCC Table 2430-2 for best management practices during site development. The biological assessment determined that any essential tree removal will be at or beyond 150 feet distance from Waddell Creek, since there will be full conservation of baseline conditions within the floodplain and historic channel migration zone, and the clearing will be less than 5% of the linear length area. The effect of this development on stream habitat within the shoreline area is expected to be negligible. The subject property and the immediate vicinity have listed occurrence for salmonids within Waddell Creek. Adverse impacts are not expected to these species when the project is constructed with best management practices for erosion control and stormwater management. While the proposed mitigation plan will provide improved riparian and wetland buffer habitat functions. The location and scale of development on surrounding properties was not the sole basis for determining approval of the RUE. The current proposal is designed to have the least impact to critical areas on site. For the forest conversion permit, the proposal is to remove 0.25 acres of timber from a 9.82 acre parcel, utilizing the existing driveway for site access for the future residential development. Stormwater review shall be completed at the time of residential permit application, and mitigation for critical area and shoreline impacts has been met via the submitted mitigation plan. Erosion control shall be in place prior to any site disturbance. Staff believes the forest conversion standards are met per TCC 17.25.500. As proposed and conditioned, the application for RUE and forest conversion is consistent with the Thurston County Comprehensive Plan. The Public Health and Social Services Department has no objection to approval of the application, Attachment M. Staff from Public Works Department closed their review with no comments. The Nisqually Indian Tribe submitted a comment letter, Attachment N, requesting a cultural resource survey be completed for the development. The Squaxin Island Tribe submitted a comment email, attachment O, requesting a cultural resource survey. A cultural resource survey was completed by Agua Terra Cultural Resource Consultants in 2022, and no cultural resources were identified. A recommendation was made for an inadvertent discovery plan to be in place during all site development. The tribes and the Department of Archaeology and Historic Preservation all concurred with the survey results and recommendations, attachments N, O, and P. No public comments were received for the hearing or notice of application. Based on the prior analysis, the Community Planning and Economic Development Department concludes that the proposed project, when appropriately conditioned, meets Thurston County requirements for RUE and forest conversion upon hearing examiner approval.
Thank you very much. Just a couple of questions. Are the existing driveway and the existing building that's being called an accessory structure, are those features legally non-conforming with respect to the critical areas ordinance in terms of their placement?
Non-conforming would be correct. Legal would be incorrect, and that's a part of this RUE process, is to grab those pre-existing impacts and mitigate for those through the RUE.
Okay, so if approval of the RUE is granted, it's your department's position that the approval would include approval for these other previously existing impacts?
Yes, okay. And those would be, it's my understanding, and as they're shown on the site plan, those are a part of the proposed and future usage for the residential development.
Thank you. Is the well existing?
I believe so.
We'll confirm with the applicant. So with regard to the shoreline master program, I just want to make sure I am clear. From your testimony, you've just said that all proposed improvements would be set back at least 100 feet from the ordinary high water mark. In fact, I think you said 150 feet from the ordinary high water mark.
Yeah.
So that meets the 100-foot residential setback.
Yes.
Is that true for both of the existing, the driveway and the existing accessory structure as well?
Yeah, the closest location to critical areas for existing development was 60 feet from wetland A and 120 feet from wetland B. I'm just going to take a quick look at the site plan. Yeah. So those existing developments are further away from the ordinary high water than the proposed future residents.
Great. All right. So I'm just checking, obviously, because the project requires compliance with the SMPTR, and the SMPTR requires a 100-foot setback, and I'm just making sure all the components are set back. Do you know, does the county know, is there any record of public recreational use of the on-site shoreline, Waddell Creek?
No, I don't know.
Because I know there are public recreational uses on surrounding properties in the vicinity, so I just wondered. In your analysis on the SMPTR question, you had noted in the staff report that no structure over 35 feet in height would be built that would obstruct the views of significant numbers of residences. That's the language from the SMPTR. Will this residence even be visible, do you think, from other residential development on the creek?
I don't believe so, no.
I didn't think so either. I was just checking. anything else, Ms. Tchaikovsky?
I don't believe so. There may have been one typo in the, well, probably in the staff report with regard to it being a public roadway, and it is actually, I believe, a private lane.
Okay. And that's the access street?
Yeah, Sherman Valley Road Southwest. It's actually an easement road off of Sherman Valley Road.
Okay. Great. Sherman Valley Road itself is public, but the site is accessed via a private
Yeah. Road. Yeah, and Todd can possibly speak to that.
All right, well, let's go ahead and hear from him then. Thank you very much, Ms. Jakovsky. The staff report was very thorough.
Okay.
Thank you. Mr. Mason, did you want to provide testimony?
Todd Mason, T-O-D-D-M-A-S-O-N, and development manager for Lakewood.
Thank you very much. Let me swear you in, sir. Do you swear or affirm your testimony will be true? If so, please say I do.
I do.
Thank you very much. Mr. Mason, what would you like to add to the record?
Well, staff has reviewed the proposal, and we didn't find any constraints with the proposal that we presented for meeting the Thurston Zoning Agreement. And as you just were previously talking about, it is served off of the lane, which is.
There's a little bit of a problem with your audio, sir. It's a little hard to hear what you are saying. I don't know if you could restate your last statement.
Oh, I was just confirming that the property is served off of a private lane that is then served off the public lane. Audio coming through a little better.
When you're closer, it's a little bit better. Yes.
Okay.
Your first comment was about the drainage. I don't know if you would restate what you said about the drainage as well.
Oh, yes. Yeah. Staff, Public Works, we reviewed it, and we didn't find any constraints with the proposal that would prevent them from meeting our Thurston Zoning drainage erosion control and process.
Thank you very much. Appreciate your being here. I don't have any other questions for Public Works. Thank you. All right, applicant representatives, it is your turn. Who will speak first?
I will. Adam Lanier with Adam Lanier Design, and I am the applicant.
Great. Sir, if I could have you please raise your right hand to take the oath. Do you swear or affirm your testimony will be true? If so, please say I do.
I do.
Great. And go ahead.
I think Heather did a great job with the overview, so, and I don't really think that I have anything to add to it. We just tried to impact the least amount of possible and abide by the ordinances. So I feel like, other than that, unless there's any questions, it is an existing well. I think that was a question you had.
Yes. Thank you. All right, I do have questions. I will ask them of you if you don't know, and if Mr. Hicks might know, we will swear him in and hear from him as well.
Okay.
Can you give me any background on the existing accessory structure and driveway? Do we know when they were built? Do we know who built them, etc.?
That would probably be better answered by Mr. Hicks.
All right, so let me come back to that question then, and I have a couple questions that I think are yours. Just want to confirm the number of proposed plantings, because I've got two different numbers. One place it says 90 trees and 120 shrubs, and in other places it says 150 trees and 200 shrubs. Could you just confirm what's actually proposed?
Yes.
Thank you. The 90-120 is from the attachment E, which is, it says description of proposed project. It's essentially the narrative.
If I can jump in,
Ms. Jakovsky.
I had asked about this a while back too, and I went with the larger number, which was associated with the revised, more recent mitigation plan. So the applicant can certainly dispute that, but that was the number of mitigation plantings that I was settling on.
So your
review.
That's
correct.
Your review and recommendations are based on the 150.
The most recent mitigation plan numbers, yeah.
Okay. Mr. Lanier?
Yeah, I was just looking for that specific note, because yeah, Heather and I did talk about that, and we went with the greater, because that was the revised mitigation plan.
Okay, thank you for confirming. And so I just want to, the site plan is, it has a whole lot of information on it with numbers that refer to, and it's actually kind of hard for me to track all the locations of all the numbers. So can we just go over a couple of things on the site plan?
A lot going on.
There is a lot going on, and it's an irregularly shaped parcel, which makes it hard to fit it all in there with words. But can you tell me, Ms. Tchaikovsky testified about this, but can you tell me, do you know, the new development, including the nearest edge of the septic system, how close it will be to the edges of the wetlands?
I have on page 2, there's a note, approximately 42 feet from the 150-foot buffer.
And 150-foot buffer, would tell me exactly what you mean.
That's item number 11. Is that what you're referring to?
Okay. 150-foot buffer from average outer edge of the wetlands.
And this is Heather jumping in. The 150-foot buffer isn't the standard wetland buffer. It's one of the categories for review when determining the wetland rating. So it's just a different measurement from the edge of the wetland.
Okay. And Mr. Lanier, you said it's 42 feet from the 150-foot buffer, so that means it's 192 feet?
Correct.
Okay.
Approximately, yes.
And Ms. Tchaikovsky also testified that the new proposed development would be more than 150 feet from the stream. And does that also jive with your understanding?
Yes. I think I have it measured at 210 feet.
Okay. At the closest point, 210. Great.
Yes.
So I do have a couple of questions that are about the property. These might be for Mr. Hicks. You said the first one is, I was looking for some history on the existing improvements. I also would like some testimony about the gray water system, and wanted to ask the applicant also if they know whether there's any history of public recreational use of the on-site shoreline.
I am not aware of any public usage, so not to my knowledge.
Okay, great. Mr. Hicks, did you want to swear in and have a chance to talk about those other things?
Yes.
Please go ahead, David, and introduce Hicks, yourself.
Property owner, DAVID HSEKS.
Appreciate that. And sir, do you swear or affirm your testimony will be true? If so, please say I do.
I do.
Thank you so much. Mr. Hicks, do you have any information on the history of the structure and the driveway when they were built?
Yeah, they were both built by the previous owner, and I believe tax records have the building being kind of showing up on the property in 2014 is what I recall. I'd have to look at the records one more time to be 100% sure, but the assumption is the driveway went in at the same time as that structure.
Thank you for that. Do mm-hmm. you, can you explain to me about the gray water system? Was that already in place when you took over the property?
The gray water system was not in place when we took over the property. It's a system that I built out there.
Okay. And there was some, there was a request from public health to disconnect and cease use of that system Did you, was that done?
That is not done at this time.
Okay, so the gray water system is still currently in use?
Yes.
Okay.
It can be disconnected. I just was unaware when that requirement takes place.
We don't have a representative from Public Works on the meeting, so I can't get any clarity at this point. When I read their comments, it seemed to me they were saying that the gray water system needed to stop being used. So that's why I was asking.
Yeah.
Can you just give me a little bit of a, and I'm talking 30,000 foot level, high level, what is the use of the property and of that system? Like, how often are people staying there?
I currently stay there with my family regularly, wife, two kids. The gray water system serves a kitchen sink, a bathroom sink, and a shower. There's no human waste, I guess, that is associated with it.
All right. You've managed to address toileting with other facilities.
Yes.
Okay. Do you know, is there any evidence of historic public access to the shoreline on this property?
Not that I'm aware of. It's been held privately owned by previous owners. My neighbor actually was, I believe, the original owner of the property. And then he's just sold it to a few individuals since then.
Okay. Right. Mr. Hicks, anything else you want to bring to my attention about the proposal or about the property that you think I should know?
Nope.
All right. Thanks for being here. Mr. Lanier, anything else you want to say for the record?
Nothing at this time. Thank you.
Okay. Ms. Katie, it looks like we still don't have any members of the public. Is that true?
That's correct.
Right. No public comment. Any final comments from any member of county staff?
No comment.
All right. I don't believe I need to hold the record open for clarification from public health on that question about the gray water system. I may or may not address that in the findings, but I don't think I need to hear anything further from them on that at this point. I think I have everything I need to decide the request for reasonable use exception. So I'm going to go ahead and close the record, except for that post-hearing public comments process I told you about. I understand there has been no pre-hearing comment on this proposal, and we probably won't get any post-hearing comment, but I treat all the applications the same, so it just adds 2 days here. Let me just give you the dates. Today being May 23rd, that means the record is open through May 25 for written public comment for members of the public who had technology problems that prevented them from joining this meeting. If we get none, the record closes on May 25, which results in a decision deadline of June 9th. That's because Memorial Day is a holiday there. If we do receive post-hearing comment, staff and the applicant have 2 business days to respond. That is May the 30th, which generates a decision deadline of June the 16th. I'm sorry, I'm having trouble with numbers today. It's June the 13th. I will send the correct written schedule to Ms. Katie via email. She can forward it to you, so you have it in writing from me. Those are post-hearing comments and responses are the only documents that the record is being held open for. So the decision is going to rely on the things already in the record, plus any post-hearing comment and response. Thanks very much, everybody, for your work on this matter. Our hearing is concluded. Have a good day.
Thanks. Have a great day.
Take care.
Thank you, everyone.
Be well. Ms. Katie, I'm going to go offline.